Give the Lord a big clap as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I am delighted to welcome everyone to this midweek service. The rain in Abuja at this time was such as if someone warned the rain against the midweek service. But I'm excited that we have a generation of people that are not resisted by weather. We have a generation that are not affected by weather. We are the ones who affect the weather. Say a loud amen. Welcome you all in Jesus' precious name. And also noticing that a couple of people have already come for the next week ministers' conference. Anyone like that? I see my man from Ghana here. Are you here till ministers' conference? Are you here till next week? Incredible. Give the Lord the praise. You are welcome. No, he's from Ghana. We have one from Egypt, right? They look alike. Both of them have Abraham's beard. You're welcome, sir. There's one from North Africa. Do you know the one I'm talking about? From North Africa. Your friend from North Africa that have a big beard. Yeah. Give the Lord the praise. Hallelujah. One more time, I welcome you all in the name of Jesus. I am going to be speaking tonight on hindrances to divine guidance. Hindrances to divine guidance and direction. And after that, we shall pray for the next week conference. Our objective tonight is to understand the factors that can prevent guidance from God. But before then, we shall have a general introduction. Psalm 32, verse 8 to verse 9. He said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. By way of introduction, out of the passage of Psalm 32 and in verse 8 to verse 9, and with the background that we have had in the month so far on the necessity and capital need for divine guidance, it is important to note the following. One, that divine guidance and direction can come from instructions and teachings of God's word. Instructions and teachings. There are people who permanently wait for a vision or for an audible voice before they know God has spoken to them. But divine guidance and directions can come from instructions and teachings of the word. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou should go. Number two, not every way is a way. It is possible to be face to face with many ways. There is a way to go. In everything in life, there is a way to go. In ministry, there is a way to go. I will instruct thee in the way which thou should go. There is a way to go about life, about marriage, about ministry. There is a way to go about finances, and there is a way not to go. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, it says, stand in, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? So there are ways and there are good ways. Not every way is a good way. It's very, very important. It's like not every open door was opened by God. Not every opportunity is a divine opportunity. There are many people who have traveled abroad or traveled here and there, and they got a breakthrough, but it wasn't God who broke it through. So it's very, very important. In the way which thou should go. Not every way is a way. Number three, God's guidance and direction can come through non-verbal communication. Non-verbal. I will guide you with my eyes. That is, God can guide without speaking. He can give you direction without saying a word. I will guide you with my eyes. I can use a set of circumstances to show you don't go here. I can use a set of situations to show you don't move there. I will guide you with my eyes. God's guidance and direction can come through non-verbal communication. Somebody wanted to travel. All of a sudden, terrible headache. All of a sudden, blood pressure increased. All of a sudden, everything went haywire. He went to start the car. The car refused to start. He did everything. Kickstarter, put battery, do this. He put the battery and did all of that. And then, against all odds, he took the car. By the road, on the way coming, two tires flat at the same time. I mean, anything should have told you at that stage, would you like to relax on this journey a bit? Maybe go back and just think about it and pray about it. This is without prejudice to spiritual confrontations. Am I communicating? Maybe you are going on a crusade. Maybe you are going for a crusade where some forces are afraid there. It is possible to have some such resistance. It's possible. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is possible. But in that case, the Lord will speak to you and let you know this is a resistance. Am I communicating? But where that is not the case and it's just a normal kind of life, because we have had situations, we are going to go for a crusade. I wouldn't tell you the specific one. First plane to use, close to the time to go, had maintenance need. Next plane to use, another maintenance need. Third plane to use, on the way coming, turn back in the air. Right. So I realized that the reason why the Lord asked me to do a particular fast ahead of that particular crusade. The fourth one was what went and came smooth. So I'm saying that to say that if there are spiritual assignments, there may be possibility of some forces trying to resist, but where that is not a case. Okay, let's say you are going for funeral. God forbid, elderly person died in the village. Who is qualified to die anyway? It's a celebration. 90-year-old person. 95. What is the fight about? Calm down. Oh, you are in a relationship. Everything you want to do to make the relationship work is opposite. Non-verbal. He said, I will guide you with my eyes. I will use things to show you this is the way to go, this is not the way to go. That was number 4, right? God's guidance and direction can come through non-verbal communication. Number 5 comes from verse 9. It says, be ye not as the horse or the mule which have no understanding. Number 4th thing to note, is that number 4? Number 4th thing to note is that understanding is a requirement for direction. And I'm going to come to that shortly. Understanding. Understanding of God, understanding of the word, understanding of the need to be directed. A horse does not know the need for guidance. Be not as the horse. Be not as a mule. Understanding is a capital requirement. Understanding the value of guidance. Understanding the value of direction. No wonder I said, man that is in honor and understandeth not. Psalm 49 verse 12 is like the beast that perish. Verse 20, it's like the beast that perish. Hosea chapter 4 and in verse 6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Understanding is a capital requirement. And finally, on this note, before we draw the curtain, existence without direction is existence like the horse or the mule. Be not as the horse or the mule. Existence without divine guidance is animal existence. If anybody says you are a horse, it's an insult. Look at you like donkey, it's an insult. But the Bible says, when we are not guided by God, when we are not directed by God, the quality of our life is not higher than that of a donkey. If I stop here, I have already overspoken. That is to underscore the critical value of guidance. If you are not guided by God, you are not directed by God, life is not higher than horse quality life. Donkey quality life, Jackie. Jackie. Jackass. Am I communicating? Do you understand what I'm talking about? So, if you see a man whose life is not guided or directed by God, if you know any characteristic of a horse or a donkey that is without guidance, it will be the same with that person's quality of characteristics. I will examine only 4. Take your seat. So, what is the horse or donkey-like existence? Number 1, stranded. You see it right there, stranded. Wondering where it is. Wondering where it is. Wondering where next to go. There are many people whose lives are stranded today because it is horse-like, animal-like. That will be 5A now. Stranded. Second is distracted and derailed. Missed road. Derailed and distracted. Many, many people have been derailed into the wrong marriage. I was counseling a couple, only 3 months married. And every behavior they behave was as if, it was as if they are trying their best to make sure the marriage does not work. After 3 months. The way you are behaving as if you want to do your best to make the marriage fail. Both of you. Many have been derailed into the wrong business. Derailed into the wrong relationships. Derailed into the wrong assignments. Because they have no guide or direction like a horse or a jackass. Stranded, derailed, distracted. Number 3, endangered. It can run into an oncoming vehicle. Where life is not directed, it is endangered. He is seeing an enemy, he thinks he's a friend. He's seeing a killer, he thinks he's a lover. Endangered. The horse is endangered. The jackass is endangered. The goat is endangered. And the final one, which appears like the condition of most people, is detained. Tied down with a rope. Detained. Instead of running a missing road, instead of running into an oncoming trailer, instead of getting lost and we don't know where you are, let's tie you down with a rope. That is what he said. He must be held with a bridle. He must be held down. Could it be that God has detained so many people? Say, instead of running into a marriage, since you are guideless, instead of thinking any man is a man, any woman is a wife, hold on until you have understanding. Instead of making money that will take you to hell, be detained with this level of minimal survival. Direction is the cure for detention. If my life and my destiny must not be detained, I must be directed. If my life and my destiny must not be detained, I must be directed. Don't forget this. Direction is cure for detention. That is, there is no devil that can keep you where you are. If you know where to go, he's held. Say the horse is held with a bridle. He's held with bits and bridle. In case they come near you. Another translation says, in case they run away from you. You hold the horse from running away. You hold it down from running away. Today, as the heavens open and direction come, I see acceleration. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Lift your right hand and say, Father, I receive my release from every spell of detention. I receive my release. My life cannot be held down. My life cannot be tied down. I receive my release. I receive it now. I knew a man that was so highly anointed in university days, almost 40 years ago. Whose life is still in cycles. After 20 something years, this guy was so much on fire, you thought he would never finish university. He run out straight into ministry. For so many years. What's happening? I'm still waiting on the Lord. What's happening? I'm still waiting on the Lord. Until time passed. You will not be a horse. You will not be a monk, a jockey that will be held down, a jackass that will be held down. Somebody lift your hand and say, Father, I receive my freedom from being stranded, from being stagnated. I receive my freedom from being derailed, being distracted. I receive my freedom from a life endangered in the name of Jesus, from every detention of my life, of my destiny. I shall move forward. Father, connect me with direction that will give me acceleration. I reject detention for my life and destiny today, in Jesus' precious name. If you leave the service today, someone asks you, what did you hear? Tell them, one of the things I heard, that direction is cure for detention. Where there is no direction, detention is inevitable. Having said all of that, what hindrances should we avoid if we want direction? Number one, hindrances to direction and guidance, number one, is lack of spirituality. A person who is not spiritual can never be directed. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to verse 10. I will read for the sake of that, as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receive not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritual things are spiritually discerned. So, spiritual direction, guidance belongs to spiritual people. People who understand prayer. People who understand fasting. People who understand spirituality. Not carnal people. Not natural minded people. Not people who look at things from the physical. Romans chapter 8 verse 14. He said, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We have to be spiritual to be guided. Number two. One is lack of spirituality. Number two is lack of sensitivity. Lack of sensitivity. Psalm 85 and in verse 8, he said, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. There are many who will not hear. They can't hear it. God is speaking, they can't hear it. God is showing a lot of signs, they still can't hear it. How do I stand here? And I say there is someone. That's an A and a G. It's like Artemis, Agnes or something. It's an Agnes there. And then talk, and then there is a hotel involved. And this morning I got to hear that name, is it Artemis or Artemis, Agnes, both the name and the first name and the second name belong to one person in Cameroon. With the whole detail of the hotel, witchcraft manipulation and everything. He told me of his brother, whose first name and surname was mentioned last night, with the exact situation. As if someone said, how is that happening? It's called sensitivity. But the help of God to capture signals as they fly. Not to take things for granted. Many of us, God is saying many things to us. We are taking it for granted. Somebody is coming to you. Your spirit is troubled. Yet you are forcing yourself to relate. Your spirit is troubled. He looked nice. He looked well dressed. He's wearing tie. But it's a fraud inside. You are troubled. You are not. You don't feel at ease. You don't feel comfortable. Your flesh is telling you, how can you suspect such a person? He's a good brother. People are related. But inside your spirit, you are stirred. Instead of giving space to go and pray, Lord, what is this? And then give space to that person. Forcing yourself until you are wounded. And then you say, something was telling me. That something is the Holy Ghost. Something was telling me. I would have listened to myself. I didn't hear anything specific, but I knew that something was wrong. People that hear God don't take signals for granted. People that are accurate, they don't take signals for granted. Whatever form the signal is coming, they don't take it for granted. Even if it is not clear to them, they take the time to find out what is really going on. I've come across people as a minister of the gospel, as a pastor, a senior pastor. When you lead many people, once in a while, some under you misbehave, under your guidance, some that you are raising, who may come to a point where they feel like they are too big to be mentored or pastored or guided, who do their own thing. Some rebel at times. 98% of the time, there is a look I see on the face. I've told you before. Yeah. I just see it. Everything still look normal. Still very, very normal. I called one. Said, I see a look on your face. The kind of look I used to see. He said, yeah, nothing is wrong, sir. Hallelujah. So I'm talking about spiritual sensitivity. Being able to decipher. To the normal, natural eye, everything look normal. Lack of sensitivity is a hindrance. Number three is lack of stillness and quietness. Our spirits can be so noisy. A lot of worries, a lot of thinkings. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know. So there is knowledge in stillness. There is guidance in stillness. Be still and know. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and in verse 12, the Bible was speaking about, after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. When the Lord was speaking to Elijah, it was the sound of a gentle whisper. The sound of a gentle whisper. At times God's voice and God's guidance and direction can be so gentle. If you are not careful, you could miss it. Once your mind is noisy, your mind is troubled, filled with worry, filled with anxiety, agitated and tensed up, it is impossible to hear what God is saying because it will be muddled up with the voice and the noise of the mind. So once in a while, it's important to quieten. And when we begin to deal on steps in receiving direction from God, will deal with all of this. Number four is the life of assumption. Assuming that things will go well without God talking. I've been living my life all these few years. I went to school. I didn't ask God which school to go. I went to this. I didn't ask God. So everything will still go normal if I just keep going. No, sir. Not necessarily. There are strategic things you need to ask God about. Strategic things. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 11 to verse 12, the Bible said, when Saul missed it, Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore," he said, "I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." Verse 13, and Samuel Saul said, "You have done foolishly." He forced himself. He assumed, and the assumptions didn't happen. Assumption is the enemy of direction. When you are in assumption, it is not possible to receive direction. Assumption can come in the form of past experiences. The last time this was how I did, I succeeded. The assumption can come in the form of the way what God said before. David would almost have assumed when the Philistines were coming. They came against him at first in 2 Samuel chapter 5. He went straight at them. Then they came again. And God said, don't go against them like as at other times. You shall wait until you hear footsteps on the tops of the Mount Mulberry trees. Only Jehovah can walk on top of trees. He said, when that has happened, you know I have gone before you. Don't go as at other times. Assumption is the enemy of direction, and assumption is a platform for destruction. Many people have assumed and have been destroyed. You will not be destroyed in Jesus' precious name. Lack of the life of assumption. Now, number five is the one that undergirds all of these things. And number five says, lack of value for spiritual guidance. When a person lacks value, this one is outright lack of value. They don't know that when they are not guided, we read that already. Psalm 32 verse 9, when they are not guided, they end like a donkey. They end like a horse. They have no understanding. They lack the understanding. The understanding of the value for guidance. This is the reason why God must guide me. So my life is not stranded. So my destiny is not detained. So I am not destroyed. They lack that understanding. And because of lack of value, before I ever thought of marriage, I went before God. Under pressure. Pressure to know. And then quieting myself within a week's time. Before ministry, the same thing. Because I knew I couldn't go anyhow. Lack of value. Number six. It's lack of meekness and humility. Lack of meekness. Psalm 25 verse 9. See what God said. The meek will he guide in judgment. Not the proud. Not the arrogant. Not the braggadocious. Not the ostentatious. Not the self-sufficient. Not the people who believe they can do without God. When you come before God in your helplessness, you are qualified for his direction. The meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. He will show the meek which way to go. When Solomon came and said, "Lord, I am a child, I don't know which way to go." God showed him the way to go. God gave him the baptism of wisdom. There are too many proud people, arrogant people, full of themselves. You know, I told you one day, before we came into the ministry, full-time ministry, I went to see a man of God in Lagos who I knew before to explain to him that God was leading us into ministry. There I met a man who was a pastor in Abuja here. He had been in Abuja for a while. I met him in that place. When I was talking to that man, this one who was in Abuja before was now telling me, oh, God is sending you to Abuja. Abuja is already filled with churches, with people. This church is there, that church is there. This one is doing very big work, big work. He was talking and talking and talking. In other words, I'm not sure whether God actually asked you to come to Abuja. That's the kind of vibe he was giving. So the other man of God told him, is he talking to you? He's not talking to you. He came to talk with me. Leave him. If God sent him there, what is your concern? After we finished talking, and that man could talk how many words per second? After we finished talking, we came into Abuja. Under 1 year, 2 years, church exploded. Second anniversary, we had our Area 1 church there with about 6 canopies outside. Field overflooded on second anniversary. Beyond that, that same man came to me. The one who met me in Lagos and said, are you this and that? He came to me and he said, yeah, I can see that God has helped you so much and God is helping you. Can you tell me the secret of church growth? You have heard nothing yet. Don't comment in a hurry. Can you tell me the secret? What? How does ministry grow? And how does God, people, this and that? Before I could say one word, he said, I know that there must be prayer and fasting. I know that there must be study of the word. I know we must do aggressive evangelism. And he began to say everything. He began to answer the question for himself. Answer that he thought he knew. You know what I told him? I said, you know everything already. There is nothing I have to tell you. Lord, thank you for this, your son, and help him with all that he knows. In Jesus' name. That was how I didn't say one word to him. Because he already came with the assumption that he knows. This was the same person distracting me at the beginning, but he didn't know who he was talking to. And now he realized that this is a man with the hand of God on his life, saw results, and said, okay, let me go and ask him. And then he came and started talking and talking and talking. He is no longer in, I don't know where he is in this world now. That person. I don't know where he is. I've not heard from him in 15, 20 years. I don't know his address. The same person that said, don't come here. The same person that said, what is the secret? The same person that had the answers. Calm down. Let's be calming down. Let's be calming down. What do you have that you have not received? A man can receive nothing except God gives to him. Calm down. Just calm down. Come all the way from up down. Hallelujah. Am I speaking to somebody here at all? There must be the assumption of ignorance to access guidance. You assume that you are ignorant. Assume. That is the only place where assumption is possible. That is, you assume ignorance. I don't know. Lord, I am here because I don't know. If I knew, I wouldn't be where I am now. If I knew, my life can't be here now. There are things I need to know, I don't know. I said, this is the only place, one of the only places, where you can assume. This is the right assumption. To assume humility is correct, is called correct assumption. To agree that you are, okay, there must be the agreement of ignorance. Agree that you are ignorant. If we have lambasted the word assumption before now. Agree that you are ignorant. So that you can be qualified to be instructed. Give the Lord a place and take your seat. When these my children start talking, if it is something I need, one day one of them was, this would be like 15 years ago, little child, began to say something. I said, hold on, let me go. I went to the room, took my pen, took my jot. I said, say what you are saying again. I began to write. Because what the little child was saying was making so much sense. I took pen and paper. I wrote. The summary of what I heard that day is that vision is superior to sight. I can't forget it. Vision. What you can see far ahead is higher than what eyes can see. Hallelujah. Somebody say aloud, amen. That is the lack of humility. And number 7, finally, is the lack of joy. Depression deprives of direction. The lack of joy. Depression deprives of direction. 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 29. He said, you shall have a song. Or rather, Isaiah 30, 29. You shall have a song as in the night, where holy solemnity is kept, gladness of heart, like when one goeth with a pipe to come to the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel, and the Lord will cause his voice to be heard. Gladness of heart is a requirement for guidance from God. Say that again. Gladness of heart is a requirement for guidance from God. And that is why the devil does the opposite to us. He makes us so angry until we are angry and we are going to God to ask questions. In anger, in depression, in quarrel with God. Okay, God, see how I'm stranded now. Tell me what business you want me to do now. Just tell me. Anything, I put money, it disappear. I put money, it disappear. I put money, it disappear. Okay, what do you want me to? Or you don't want me to do anything? That is the exact mode in which you will hear nothing. The exact mode. If there is nothing working at all, your life is working. If not for God, will you be here? I don't think there's anybody here who has not confronted death before, in one way or the other, directly or indirectly, and you are alive. This is, let everybody that has car praise the Lord. Everybody who finally got married, praise the Lord. Everybody who bought a house in Metama, praise the Lord. Everybody who got visa application and they gave you American visa, praise the Lord. You know, in Africa, one of our greatest battles is visa. There are some countries where they don't understand the issue of visa. Because they are about to hear visa. American visa. That's the number one dangerous one. British visa. Even South Africa. But he didn't say, let everyone who has a visa, praise the Lord. What did he say? Let everyone that has breath. So you need to, there is, the way you tune a radio, you need to spiritually condition your life to receive strategic direction. Despite depression, despite negative things around, you bring yourself to a climate where you can say, you know what? The devil wants me down, but I refuse to be down. This is the day the Lord has made. I will stand up on your feet and rejoice. This is the day we the Lord has made. Whether the devil likes it or not, I will rejoice in the Lord. Not I will rejoice in my car, or I will rejoice in my house, or rejoice in my wife. I will rejoice in my husband. No, I will rejoice. I'd like you to change the climate around your life from depression to celebration. There will be an idea that will come. There will be a wisdom that will come. There is a guidance that will come. There is a light that will come. That will just change the narrative around your life. There is something that will come around you. Maybe that is why some of us receive signals all the time. Because we are just so excited. Ask all these, my people here. These are members of my siblings. I told them, I said, since we are all age mates. You say, what? I said, am I not your age group? Didn't you hear before that I'm 20-something? So one of them asked me, then the firstborn, how will we explain that? Who is already 30-something? I said, let's pray about it. Whether I gave birth before I was born, we have to. Praise the Lord. Everybody is talking and laughing, and the climate is light. The climate is not thick. There are some houses you come into. They are not quarreling currently, but the climate you can is suffocating, is choking. The climate is saying something. And how many of you know if you come to a house and madam doesn't want you there, you are aware. She won't say anything, no, but both the two of you know. The sister, usually, all of a sudden, the man carries his bag and says, I want to go tomorrow. You say, what happened? He said, they are sending for me from the village. He said, but you came yesterday. He said, oh, no. I need to go home urgently. Madam, he said he wants to go. Maybe he needs to go. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's how it is. You come to certain places. You see, the climate is so dense. The Spirit of God can't survive there. In His presence is fullness of joy. So if you want His presence, create fullness of joy. Create fullness of joy. Create it. And at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I announce tonight, every embargo placed on your hearing, embargo placed on your seeing, embargo placed on your reception, that embargo is lifted right now. I command all spiritual ears to be opened, all spiritual eyes to be opened, all spiritual understanding to be opened. In the name of Jesus. And of course we all know that the beginning of hearing, it's relationship with God. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Right? We'll talk about that in detail by the time we talk on Sunday. My sheep hear my voice. John chapter 10 verse 27. Somebody has to be his sheep. We have to belong to him. We have to have a relationship with him. We have to be born again. We'll deal with that extensively. Because if you are not his sheep, which means you are not living correctly and living accurately, it is not possible to hear his voice. Father, we give you the praise. Lift your hands and appreciate him. Honor him and adore him. We are going to celebrate God for the next 5 minutes. And just practice what we heard. Throw away every sorrow. Throw away every depression. Throw away everything that looks like a depression. I don't want to follow every way that opens up. Every way that opens is not a way. I don't want to be without direction. I don't want to be like a donkey. I don't want to be like a mule, a jackass. No, I don't want to be like that. I want to be guided. I want to be directed. I want God to show me the way. And you are ready like that. Lift up your hands. Thank him for the word you heard first. Appreciate him for the word you heard first. Appreciate him for the word you heard first. Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. We give you the worship. We give you the supremacy. Dominion, rule, sovereignty. Thank you, Adonai. Thank you, Elion. Thank you, Elohim. Thank you, Elohiko. Mahosidia Kaparandazi. Onkonze Pio Fatanagzala Hartami Topu Vaguti. Le peretesita kalaya da harata. Father, we thank you. We worship you. Lift your hands and say after we say, Father, I reject depression. I reject depression. Let's go over those 7 qualifications. Lift your hands and say after me, say, Father, I come before you today. I ask that you help me,
that you help
to live,
to live
a spiritual life,
a spiritual
deliver
life.
Me
deliver
from
me
carnality,
from carnality,
from natural existence,
natural
in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Help me, Lord,
help me, Lord,
with spiritual sensitivity. Help me to be sensitive
to
your signals,
to
the things you are showing, to the things you are saying, to the things you are revealing, in the name of Jesus. Father, deliver me from worry and anxiety and turbulence in the mind, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, deliver me from trouble of mind, in the name of Jesus. Father, deliver me
from the life
of assumption,
of assumption,
in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Father,
Father,
I ask that you help me
to value
spiritual guidance,
spiritual
in the name of Jesus.
Father,
deliver me
from
the life
of
arrogance and pride, in the name of Jesus. Help me with humility, in the name of Jesus. I receive the fresh baptism of joy. I reject the spirit of depression right now, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth, 1 minute to pray. Pray, 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 pray. Open your mouth. Pray, pray, pray. He covered by a hazard. Open your mouth and pray. Let us get it. Baratazakatada. Let it be Baratazina Mamadana Horatosodo. Rocket us get it. Fetasada. Let it see Papa Paratazanido. All let it fetiza. Kilomagana Hazari. Larakese Peperi Galota Sada Glamagala Harada. Rata set a fete, set a fete, set a fidada. Pray, pray, pray. Ikalasada. Fetas animala. Rata set a fidida. Sika la Bragada. Iko Pata set a fete. Sida Galahari. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Help me test 5 people. Say, this is the day the Lord has made.
That the Lord has made.
I must rejoice.
I must rejoice.
And be glad.
And be glad.
In today.
In today.
Say whether the devil likes it.
Whether the devil likes it or not,
I shall rejoice
and be glad
in today. Hallelujah.